Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Phil. How have you been?
I've been doing really well. It was a rainy weekend, but still managed to get out Sunday and get a nice little walk in around Round Lake. How about you?
Well, I was mostly clearing up the devastation of my frozen garden. I understand that isn't true for everybody, but I had a frost and that was the end of it for all my tender plants.
Well, we have a guest in the studio this morning who's going to talk to us about a whole range of topics of from recreation to waterways to trails, Steve Klatt. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Phil. Good morning, Julie. How are you this morning?
Great. Happy to have you here.
Pretty good. Before we launch into the interview, though, let's take a look at the upcoming weather this weekend, or this week, rather. Today, we have a patchy fog, and that sure was true coming across the Long Ridge. Then mostly sunny with a high of 65. Overnight low of 37 tonight with still some clouds hanging in there. And then tomorrow on Wednesday, we have a slight chance of showers. I think that's a little bit later in the day with a high of 65 and a low tomorrow night of 45 with that chance of showers increasing to 40%. And Thursday, the chance of rain keeps going up and up right now. It looks like a 60% day and the high temperature won't even break 60. The good news is after that, we clear for the weekend. At least that's the theory right now.
Well, a little rain doesn't hurt in Idaho. We love it. It was a dry summer. I'm happy to hear it's raining for a few days.
So Steve is the director, Bonner County Director of Waterways, Parks, and Recreation. A fairly new job, and we're going to hear all about its first year of trials, travails, and triumphs.
It has been an interesting year. Bonner County created the department for the last budget cycle. So it was a new department created October 1st of 2015, and I was hired to be the first director. It has been interesting to a large degree because nobody has a true definition of what my job responsibilities are, and I'll give Commissioner Kerry Kelly a great deal of credit for his favorite word of voluntold, that he is great at suggesting that I could have more responsibilities in a variety of areas. So I've had a great variety of responsibilities in a wide variety of areas.
That could mean a large staff. How many folks are you managing?
I manage two people in the field, and I do everything myself in the office. It's plenty to do.
But wow. You also partner with a lot of organizations and individuals.
We do. And I mean, I was just looking at a list of, I work with the U.S. Forest Service. I work with the Corps of Engineers on projects on the water. I work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And then on the state level, Department of Lands for permitting, Parks and Rec on a number of issues, grants, just programs, water resources. I've got a project that I'm working with them primarily on Priest Lake, a study that's going to take place. ITD, I get involved with them on the Sego Bikeway path. And then I get involved with the Idaho Office of Emergency Management, and we're dealing with a property the county acquired out on the Pack River that we're trying to find what is the future of that piece of property.
Steve, that's a lot of responsibilities, and I'm wondering, how is it that you came to be chosen for this position? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Local boy, graduated from Sandpoint High School, got into contracting and politics sort of simultaneously. First ran for a county office in 1974, taking us back a ways there. Was elected to the city council in 75, served a term on the city council, at the same time contracting, served on several varietal of chamber of commerce, a couple of state advisory boards, was instrumental in one of the founders of the Idaho Nursery Association through my landscaping business. Then decided I was going to be a consultant, so I consulted for a number of years, came back and was elected as a county commissioner in 94, served on the county waterways for quite a number of years, served on the Idaho Parks and Rec Board, and that is sort of some snapshot of my life.
So you have a great background, it sounds like, for a wide variety of tasks, probably perfect for a newly emerging job as you're trying to define it. Tell us about the county's vision as the job was created a year ago.
I give credit for the county's vision is largely an extension of Kerry Kelly's vision for Bonner County having a more active involvement in the field of parks and recreation. And I give Commissioner Kelly a lot of credit for sticking with that. I think it's been in his mind since he'd been elected. And so my responsibilities are just really, and I don't think they have a clear vision except that Bonner County is going to take a more active role in recreational pursuits of Bonner County. And there's such a variety of them.
Yeah, we certainly in North Idaho here, Bonner County, enjoy the outdoor lifestyle with so many things to offer, from hiking trails to paddling on the lake and motorized sports, non-motorized sports. There's a great variety of recreational opportunities, and the county's interest in intersecting with those seems obvious that it's a way of the future.
Well, it is, and you think about it, I mean, economically, what the impact of recreation is to Bonner County is almost uncalculable. It brings, I mean, think of the number of people it brings in the winter, summer, shoulder seasons. People are coming here, fishing on the lake, skiing in the winter. The trails, I think that we're seeing now the emergence of activity in creating and emphasizing recreational trails brings more people in. People come in to mountain bike. It goes on and on. So the economic stimulation to the Bonner County economy is it's large. And it seems appropriate that Bonner County would respond that way and be a conduit to try to improve and coordinate and accept, you know, ways to accent that. It seems like a proper fit.
Yeah, it's a positive response to the growing tourism and recreation. And I don't personally know the statistics, but is it becoming our major source of revenue for the county, or is that not known?
Well, for the county itself, good old property taxes.
Ah.
and there, you know, lies one of the paradoxes of this position. It's hard to truly justify taking property taxes if you are a property owner with a home in the hills of Blanchard, to think that you're going to be paying property taxes to develop parks on the water for people from Washington to come enjoy. That's not a good sell in Bonner County. So it's really interesting to try to figure out, how does this job work and how does this department develop? So it's really in lockstep with Bonner County taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. As residents, though, it's nice to see some of our tax monies being invested in things that directly contribute to our quality of life.
And that everyone can use.
And that's true. And so, you know, we have a little park that's in Priest River, Bonner Park West. We manage a park that's owned by the Idaho Fish and Game and Garfield Bay. And we are working toward trying to help develop a more of a community swim park where our boat basin is in Hope, because that's really something lacking. For as much as the whole Hope community overlooks the lake, there's very little for public access in the Hope area.
So let's keep talking about the lake and lakes, really, because we have a couple real gems here, don't we?
We do. We have Ponderay is, you know, very notable. But if you happen to be a property owner at Priest Lake or second, third, fourth generation Priest Lake, Priest Lake is the center of the universe. So it is a matter of perspective. And then, I mean, to think that the Ponderay River is not a true recreational asset, I mean, most places in the United States would die of envy if that was your third level recreational water source.
So what are the kind of issues or opportunities that you deal with on the waterways, Steve?
Well, obviously, on the positive side is water access, boater improvement. The negative side of is there is the development and the evolution and the evolving of boats and water sports. There are the boat operators and recreationalists, and then there's the shoreline property owners who don't see things quite, in particularly on the Ponderay River, these new generation of large wake boats that are designed to take on water, ballast in the stern, sink the stern down and create a big wake for enjoyment, are truly beginning to irritate and cause damage to the property owners along the shores. This is going to be an ongoing, this becomes now at the waterways committee meetings. We have a meeting every month, and this becomes a regular topic of discussion from property owners coming in, both on Ponderay River, and we heard very strenuously at Priest Lake. It's an issue that's developing there as well.
So how do you see that being resolved?
Slowly, difficultly, and it's a little obscure right now how that's going to be resolved. One of the true issues on trying to come up with resolutions is what is really enforceable, right? I think those of us who grew up in Idaho, those of us who moved to Idaho, we like Idaho because we like the freedom from overregulation. I think that's part of our lifestyles. And so when we adopt rules, I think we, and rightfully so, the state at the state level, the legislature is very resistant to new rules. At the county level, we are resistant to new rules. And then when you talk about enforcement, there's a real reason to be, how do you enforce a rule on the water? And that's an issue.
So is it more around education then? Is that where you're headed, or do you not know yet?
There is a strong support group for boater education. Boater education, operator education, mandatory education has never got traction at the state level at the legislature. So education is part of the element, but I don't think there's going to have to be some regulations. Even in my own mind, I have no definition of what they might be.
Part of it, I'm sure, too, is with the evolving scenarios you've described, it's also managing expectations as well as the activities and education.
Yes, and you have boat rental businesses where you have people who will rent a boat and they're checked out so that they can take the boat away from the dock, bring the boat safely back to the dock. But the truth of the matter is they have absolutely no experience of courtesy and what marine rules and regulation are just basically rules of the water are for general operation. So you have some real inexperienced operators who are impacting people's lives.
So I know anything to do with water, you get into multi-jurisdictional areas. Bonner County obviously has a role in it, but what are some of the other partners and how does Bonner County work with them to find resolution to these matters?
Well, the long and the short of it is Bonner County rules the surface of the water for operations. But part of that is it has got to be some consistency. We look at it, we're trying to set up a meeting now with our counterparts in Kootenai County and bring in the state from Parks and Rec and they coordinate marine and law enforcement statewide. We're trying to get all the players on the same page of paper so that if there are rules adopted in North Idaho, they're consistent between Bonner and Kootenai County. So that gives vessel operators at least a chance to learn one set of rules.
Is there a counterpart for you in Kootenai County that you work with?
Yes. You know, honestly, I've worked with them very little because I've been so busy working on the multitude of issues that have been sitting on my desk when I got it that I haven't gotten around to coordinating what I would do with. But there's a counterpart, and they have years of experience in this department. It's probably at least 20 years in existence in Kootenai County.
Well, it sounds like your job is both outdoors and indoors, but tell us, is it more indoors, really? Are you more doing budgets and planning documents, etc.?
The good old computer. Yes. Yes, I spend more time at a computer screen than I do outside where I'd rather be. But it's a necessary part of the job. I mean, there's grants we have applied for and gotten. There's paperwork. There's projects to be followed up on. There's projects to be closed out. There's always money to try to be recaptured that the county has paid and needs to be reimbursed. There's a lot of paperwork.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning in the studios with us, we have Steve Clapp, the director, Bonner County Director of Waterways, Parks, and Recreation. And we're talking about all things outdoors, only to find out Steve spends much time indoors.
That is the nature of management, isn't it? I think that, it would be great. I have spent several days on Priest Lake, and I've spent some time on Ponderay. And, yes, I need to spend more time outdoors, but I think the commissioners hired me to get some work done. And sadly enough, most of that work centers around a computer.
So let's shift to terra firma. Tell us about some of the trails work that you're doing.
The trails, it really is coordinating with. There's a wonderful group the Trail Mix group that was formed several years ago in Bonner County as a collaborative between Bonner County, the city of Sandpoint, Ponderay, Kootenai, and Dover. And they brought in the Trust for Public Lands, came on board and helped create what is the Bonner County Trail Plan. And that was a concerted effort with this Trail Mix group. But the Trail Mix group includes the municipalities, the governments, but then all of the various trail organizations. And, you know, there are many. There's the Ponderay Peddlers, there's the Friends of the Ponderay Bay Trail. There's the North Idaho Bikeways. There's, the various groups. There's a group down in Blanchard trying to find trails in Blanchard. There's the Nordic Club. There's quite a number of groups. So it's sort of a clearinghouse for us to work together on how do we create a network of trails, then how do we map the network of trails, how do we improve the network of trails. And the county assists with, in some ways, it's a matter of just providing the house and the assistance of the clearinghouse. The county was specifically involved in resurfacing the Sagal Bikeway, the bike path, and that was because we were able to submit grants to support that project. That came from the North Idaho Bikeways. Those are the sorts of efforts that we are involved with.
Do the plans for trails come from other parties and then you all assess them, or do they start with you, or is it just a collaboration?
It's a collaboration, and more often than not, I think what we see with trails is we see there's a group that or an individual that strongly advocates for a certain kind of trail. You know, we can think of specifically the Mekinic Trail and Jan Griffiths. It was her determination along with Mickey Please that created, you know, just their sole determination is what created a trail that is heavily used, much appreciated. And that's, I think, just an example of how trails are born.
And the Trails Mix Committee is addressing a wide variety of those uses, right?
Yes, right. And so we're really, in many ways, we're talking, we get together and we discuss, are there things we can do to assist other trail groups? So can one trail group assist another trail group? You know, there's a wonderful trail being developed with the Ponderay Peddlers that are leading it, but that's Watershed Crest Trail around Schweitzer, which will become really it's going to be very noteworthy trail and with the ability for most people to access it from the chairlift. So you can ride to the top, you can work on the crest, and you know the views from the crest around Schweitzer and the extension will be over to Baldy. That's a lovely crest trail. And actually, as it is extended and tied together, we'll drop down and hit the top of Mekinic. And so you really, that's a trail network. And those are, you know, efforts that are being made by individuals in a group that just feel that's something they really want to work on.
Yeah, that trail's, we spoke with folks from that trail committee about a month ago, and it sounds like that's really poised to become a destination trail, something that will put Sandpoint and Bonner County on the map, so to speak.
I think that's really true. I mean, it is. It's noteworthy. It'll be extensive. It'll be the kind of trail where you can spend several days on that trail. I was just talking with somebody who had made a trip to Glacier, and the reason they went to Glacier was to spend days on Glacier's trail. And I think that we'll see that Bonner County, along with the various other things that attract people to Bonner County, it will be trails. And you'll have the ability for families to have family trails, and you'll have mountain bike trails, of which we have many, but there'll be more, and you'll go from advanced to family efforts. It'll be scattered around. So,
and it's really impressive that a county this size is able to work on that with groups that are volunteers. We've also had a group on the radio show that's told us how limited the funding for hiking trails is in the state of Idaho, and so to see these volunteers going forward is wonderful.
That brings up a most interesting political discussion, how to fund non-motorized recreation.
I don't think we have enough time to thoroughly vet that.
But it's a tough one.
Yeah. But I mean, the long and the short of it is, I think finding non-motorized recreational people inspired enough to figure out how they're going to impose some funding upon themselves. This is just rough, but I think there's something like $3 million in motorized trail funding per year in the state of Idaho. And that's assessed, that's self-assessment through licenses, gas taxes, various things. And I think total, and largely with federal funds that are that come in through federal highway dollars, I think that there's about $150,000 for non-motorized. And that's, you know, that's just a huge difference of funding.
Yeah, finding the balance between the funding sources and the outflow, of course, is always tricky. And aren't you glad you're not working at the state level?
You know, I worked at the state level for 6 years, really did enjoy it because it was quite interesting. I learned a good political lesson is don't get into the into a discussion and an argument with the governor of Idaho. If you want to be reappointed, it doesn't work very well. But
yeah, no matter who the governor is, it's not just our current governor.
I'm not putting any specific governor. It just you just don't if you want to be reappointed, try to avoid direct arguments and discussions, counterpoints with the governor. It doesn't work.
Well, obviously, trails is one part of your job, but you have involvement with lots of other areas of recreation. There's the PNWT. We have local access points for swimming, so we've got more swimming to talk about. Let's move on to one of those areas.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, there is a national scenic trail. We've heard, you know, you hear about the Columbia Crest Trail and Pacific Crest Trail, but there's a trail that is being developed that starts at the Rockies, the Continental Divide, and crosses the Panhandle of Idaho. And that's one that is just in its infancy. And I represent Bonner County on that trail. And there are other, but it's a trail that's just being developed and really trying to, it's congressionally declared. And we're trying to find the routes that try to avoid conflicts and offer opportunities on that trail as well. And so that's one that's coming along. Something that I'm trying to work with.
And so for the listeners who might not be familiar with it, that's the Pacific Northwest Trail you're talking about.
Right.
We also have another iconic North to South Trail that's not managed by the federal government, but by the state, the Idaho Centennial Trail that comes through Bonner County.
Yes, and it does. And that's a trail that's probably used more, though through hikers, I think, are limited and durable sort of folks. There are a limited number of them, but that is quite a trail that runs out on along the eastern edge of Bonner County. And Phil, you really might know more about that trail. I have a knee that is from youthful football and a couple of tumbles down a glacier. I don't do a lot of hiking personally, so I get the pleasure of working on these, but not walking them as much.
I think as with all long-distance trails, the number of people through hiking it pales in comparison to day use. And if we look specifically at a couple of these long-distance trails that we've just brought up, they pass through some real gems of areas, the Trail 120 across B-Top, the Ball Lake area, Pyramid Lake area up in the Selkirks for the Pacific Northwest Trail. Really much more of a local usage than the thru-hiker, but these trails and their existence magnify the importance of the area for trails and give us yet another reason to market North Idaho as a destination for recreational users.
Well, I think so. And you think about it, that brings up the, you know, the B-Top connector that the Idaho Trail Association worked on this year and along with the Forest Service, but that is now back open. You know, that's simply a magnificent trail. And when you get up, you know, 1,000 feet above the lake and get on ridgetops and start looking out across the lake, and it's like the views that you get from Scotchman when you start looking back at the lake. I mean, those are that's simply a world-class view. And it's really true. I mean, as locals and day users, there are numerous trails that give you truly spectacular views that you can hike quite easily.
Having just made it to the top of Scotchman, I'm really ready to try the next one, so I'll put that on my list.
So I think it's really interesting. Your position provides that viewpoint for some of the places where these things come together, where some of the trails come down at lake level, for instance, the Pondre Bay Trail. And we have public access points that might be parks like Dog Beach. And so you're in a position with the three main areas you oversee to really have some major input and focus on those.
Well, I think so. And I think it's noteworthy and a credit to Bonner County that they've made a commitment to have a position and have a person dedicated to working on that, which brings up one of the things that I am working on, and we've really been talking about this at the county level for a number of years, but we have neighborhood access points, old platted subdivisions that created streets that go right to the water's edge. And so the program that I'm working on trying to develop and hopefully make first headway on that for next season, but we'll call it the Good Neighbor local access points. And to encourage people in a neighborhood to have access to the water, there are spots off Lakeshore Drive, there's spots in Bottle Bay, there's spots at Hope. I wouldn't want to mention there is a spot at Kokolala. There are a number of places that are around that we need to develop. And not that we're going to try to encourage them as true spots to destination, because of the parking always becomes an issue. But if you're in the neighborhood, it's always nice to have a spot where you can quickly get to the water, enjoy the water, have access to it when you're not a waterfront landowner. So,
yeah, it's a good way to get a quick dip, get a little exercise, keep yourself fit.
Right, and there are spots where you can carry a kayak in, but parking in almost every case is a problem. It has to be developed and you know, handled courteously. That's a good neighbor part of it.
So let's talk a little bit about winter. Your job continues right on through winter recreation, doesn't it?
Yes, I get the pleasure of being involved. We have two snowmobile groomers associations that are in Bonner County. There's a very active, well-established group that operates out of Priest Lake, where the snowmobile grooming and the grooming and snowmobiling is part of the economy and the backbone of Priest Lake. And I interface with that group, and then they work with the Department of Lands on their trails and the Forest Service on grooming trails. And then there's a group that's the Sandpoint East Bonner County Groomers Association, and they have it more interesting. They actually manage trails, groom trails that are in Clark Fork, going up toward the county line, Trestle Creek, Pack River, and they have a groomer's agreement with Boundary County, and they go as almost to the Canadian border grooming trails out in the Canuck Pass area. So they have a completely different challenge, and that's transport, and we're working on getting them a transport vehicle for their groomer so they can move that groomer from Clark Fork to the Canadian border if they need to, in a fairly dependable manner.
Does the county budget funds for these groups then? Is that how you work with them? Or
those groups are both funded. They raise money for themselves and independent, and they have their own, you know, budgets that they use for costs. But then the budgets that the county receives comes from licenses that are managed, the snowmobile licenses, much like the waterways, but the groomers get it from their snowmobile groomers, and it's the number of groomer stickers that are sold in each district. Specifically, you specify what district is your primary snowmobile district, and the Groomers Association gets the funds back for that from that funding source.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY-FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning we're talking with Steve Klatt, the Bonner County Director of Waterways, Parks, and Recreation. And on the park theme, we're going to take a short musical break here and listen to Billy Joe Royals. This is taking us back a few years, Cherry Hill Park. Billy Joe Royal, Cherry Hill Park. Seemed appropriate for the Parks Director. Welcome back to the morning show. This morning we have Steve Klatt, the Bonner County Director of Waterways, Parks, and Recreation.
And a pleasure to be here, Phil. I'm impressed with your board work. I didn't know that you really were such a mixing board man.
It goes back to my college days, back when there was actually records and not everything on MP3s.
Not much dead air with Phil. You should be here a week when I'm running the board. So anyway, we're moving on, I think, to a new topic, and I'm interested in hearing more about the Bonner County Wellness Program. Tell us about that.
That's an interesting, this is one of the voluntold positions that I didn't quite see coming, but I want to compliment Commissioner Kelly for sharing with me. But the county has several incentives, and they really started with sort of the idea of insurance incentives, of healthier people reduce insurance premiums, and they've grown a bit from that. But the county does have a good program where if you make an effort at becoming healthier on a yearly basis, that you have an incentive in benefits and bonuses to your insurance costs. And so that is the Wellness Committee. And with the Wellness Committee, we work on various aspects that promote employee involvement in programs, whether it's walking. And that's one of the things that I got involved with, was trying to develop a system of series of, if you wanted to take 10 minutes and walk a mile, the number of varieties from either one of our admin buildings or the courthouse, there's just simply, you don't think about it, but there are a lot of different ways you can walk, some of which are really quite scenic, and you can quickly get a mile in and come back and you're a healthier person. Sometimes you even have a better attitude.
Of course, that benefits the county as well and the pocketbook if healthier employees lead to greater productivity.
It does that, and it also, the healthier employees reduce the cost of insurance premiums over time, and that benefits all the taxpayers of Bonner County.
Is there any way for you to monitor how folks are doing?
You know, I try to keep myself out of the monitoring business. That's
so you're not incentivized on how well they're doing on it.
Well, the incentives are there, but I don't want to become the monitor. I heard myself referred to from Garfield Bay as a Garfield Bay fireworks Nazi for this past summer. I don't want to have people start thinking of me that I'm the exercise Nazi of Bonner County admin building. I'd rather stay out of that position.
So your job, while it might seem innocuous to some, does come with some controversies.
I am surprised at what a controversy I generated in my own neighborhood around Garfield Bay over the 4th of July. And that was where, over time, the Garfield Bay 4th of July celebration had grown and grown and grown. And one of the responsibilities that came with this position was simply, and really you look at it from the standpoint of county liability, it had become traffic congested to the point you could not get up. If you needed to get emergency services and vehicles in there, it would have been literally virtually impossible during the 4th of July celebration to do so. And it becomes a county liability. If you, as an organization, as a government entity, if you allow a situation that's unsafe to continue to generate itself, you are in fact the culpable party for that. So that, and then I had a small article in the paper about that the county was going to take a harsher line on cracking down on excessive drinking and fireworks among the people that were drinking excessively. And that did stir more of a controversy than I saw coming. I was a bit surprised at the reaction I got out of that one.
So what are some of the other things? I know there's areas that are important to folks that get passions flowing, maybe not to that level, but Dog Beach comes to mind as one of them.
Dog Beach is an interesting one. And that came up just this fall for the first time. Or actually the end of, not fall, we're not even in fall now, are we? But the summer, I was contacted by the city if we would be willing to help clean up a little bit around the Dog Beach area as it got ready for the Long Bridge swim. And I was contacted by Kim at the city and the parks director there, and I just thought about it for a minute or two. It's outside the city limits, so it's really outside the city's responsibility. But it's certainly then in the county, and when you think about it, the county has always tried to stay away from Dog Beach. And I decided it really was beneficial for us to take the opposite approach, that it is really an area of our influence. If we talk about water access points and developing more, why wouldn't we work at trying to enhance and, you know, just show appreciation for one that's existing and we tend to, at the county level, not think of Bonner County as city of Sandpoint residents as being Bonner County residents and taxpayers, but in fact they are. They pay Bonner County taxes. Why shouldn't the county work at providing and enhancing a facility that's used primarily by the people of Sandpoint, but not entirely so? So I've been contacted by county residents, and that's where they come across the bridge, and they park and go down to Dog Beach.
Yeah, it's interesting because Sandpoint, from a recreational perspective, is known to be very dog-friendly, and we think about it that way. And then if you run down to the Sandpoint Beach, you can't bring your dog there. So you have to find the Dog Beach, and once you found it, it helps quite a bit. But it would be wonderful if work developed a bit more and more people knew about it.
Right, and so it certainly is well enough known, and if you drive in across the bridge, even arriving in town, you see the beach area, and it's an attractive beach area. And it's one that we want to maintain because I think there's a it's really railroad property and ITD property. The Transportation Department right away touches railroad right away. And the railroad's perspective is if it's maintained without problems, they will simply allow the use of it. If there starts to be problems there, they're simply going to fence it and close it. And so it really behooves Bonner County and the residents that use it, let's take care of it and maintain it. And Bonner County will play a more active role in those things.
It's a real diamond in the rough.
Rough.
Yes.
rough.
So the county also helps to manage or manages one other real special place, Gamblin Lake.
Yes. What we really do is, you know, that's really the Bureau of Land Management. And that's another agency that I didn't know, but that is, they acquired... I have to think about directions. It's probably the eastern end of Gamblin Lake, and I've developed a nice trail system in there, and they maintain access there. So for the Bonner County, the waterways perspective, there's a large fishing group of friends for Gamblin Lake. And because they are, you know, most of those are licensed, though it's a limited gas use on that lake, but there's still licensed vessels that are paying into the funds that go to waterways that come to Bonner County from the state. So we try to maintain a porta potty that's down there out of courtesy for the neighbors and people that are along that road. And but it's really we set the regulations for the surface of Gamblin Lake, but we don't really have much of a facility there, and there's just simply no parking.
I think parking is the biggest challenge I've noticed there.
Yeah.
And we've touched on the beauty of Priest Lake, but I'm not sure that we touched on how the county is involved in facilities there.
The county's facilities are limited. We have two boat launches that are in the Coolin area. And so we maintain a larger boat access point. Once again, with very limited parking, it's sandwiched in between two pieces of private property. And then there's another boat launch that is just a little bit north of that, and we maintain that. So we maintain those two boat launches that are there. We also support and work with a little swim beach that's there, the Coolin Swim Beach. That's really a local access point that's not known much, but that is a piece of county ground that we have. There's a group there that manages it locally. That's a county facility. We work with mooring buoys that we haven't really spoke much about, but mooring buoys on Priest Lake. And I think that's a direction we will go with more, which allows overnight accommodations, recreational waypoints for boats to tie off to enjoy the lake. I think there's need. We have quite a navigational system on Priest Lake, and we're studying more. What are there more navigational hazard needs that we have up there for the boats? There's a controversial access point in Outlet Bay that comes to mind, comes to light, comes to media attention once every year or two. That is the most interesting of all. It's a county right-of-way to the water's edge, and then a homeowners group leases from the state the lake bottom under the water. And we have yet to find a true harmonious operating principle between the homeowners and the county for this right-of-way, which is, I believe, is a 40-foot right-of-way. It's over 300 feet long. There's no turning around, so if you want to launch a boat, you have to actually back the boat 300 feet. Most people are not equipped to back a boat trailer 300 feet.
Sounds like a lot of challenges, and so we're almost a year into your job. Are they what you expected?
To a large degree, yes. I'm having served, you know, as a county commissioner, having served as on the county's waterway board and committee for 10 years or so, and been involved at the state level, I knew what the department would likely come up with. And they do catch you. The 4th of July caught me a bit off guard. I wasn't expecting that one to be quite as cantankerous as it was. So there are issues that surprise you. I think what surprises me is the workload. In the private sector, I spent most of my life, and every time you're working with a project and you're working with somebody at a bureaucratic level, you always hear, well, I don't know when I can get to things. I don't know when I can get it done. And my comment was always a sardonic and cynical, you want it tough, get out in the private sector, pal, and trying to make a living. Well, now here I am, the burdened bureaucrat, and I have to laugh at myself, but I'm amazed at the workload I'm trying to sift through and keep prioritizing and get done.
So you can vent a little here. What are some of the challenges we haven't mentioned?
Oh, my sense of humor some days. just maintaining. I mean, it, for somebody, I mean, if you've got a personality that's geared toward accomplishing things, sometimes you have to just accept that there are circumstances that you're not going to get something accomplished that day that you'd like to. And you still, if you're working, representing and working with the public of Bonner County and the taxpayers, you'd best try to have a good attitude and a sense of humor when you're dealing with them. And sometimes that's truly a challenge.
I imagine compromise is a big part of being successful with you.
How do you spell that word? Yeah, it is. So, give and take is part of, I think, public management.
So let's shift a little to some of the pleasures, the joys that have come in the last year.
Well, I think what we see is, first of all, plenty of people very appreciative that Bonner County is focusing attention on a number of things. We've made improvements to facilities that people really do appreciate, and they're quick to acknowledge it. I think we improved the operation. We didn't really talk about Bonner County's campground at Garfield Bay, but the people, there's quite a fan club of that campground. Have been using it for years. We've improved that. It has operated a little more smoothly. You hear compliments on those sorts of things. Little things that, like, it was brought to my attention that the Hope boat launch doesn't have a light, and that's a heavily used boat ramp in the fall and all winter long. And coming in there is absolutely a black hole. And that's something that, you know, we have the budget and the waterway funds, so we are now working quickly on trying to get solar light set up so that we have light in there at night for this fall, just to make the boating experience. They pay for it. They use it. It should be safer and more accessible. And those are the kind of things that actually do get a sense of satisfaction.
In my experience, the counties don't always have the biggest budgets. Can you share your budget that you're working with?
Well, the parks budget is $180,000, and that's just the parks end of. There's two budgets I work with, parks and waterways, and the waterways budget is larger than that. And there's salaries that come out of that. There's three salaries that are split between those two departments. There's the operating of the campground, and we have a little facility at the fairgrounds and Bonner Park West. And those are the sort of things that we operate. And then, so, you know, you're dealing with a budget of under $400,000 for the two departments. I try to think about it as a taxpayer myself, spend the dollars wisely, see how much we can get done with them. And people are appreciative that we're doing something.
You're also writing grants to try to bring in some funding for some of these projects, aren't you?
I think maybe I want to quit writing grants. I wrote four grants in 2016, and they were all four successful. I think I'd like to stop right there.
There you go, batting
1,000.
That's enviable. So we're running a little short on time, but tell us, what's the most rewarding thing from this last year?
Really and truly, the most rewarding thing is seeing Bonner County beginning to make a commitment to recreation in all of its facets and really taking a place at the table, which I've long felt it should be. And so being in a position to help form this department, I think, is truly the most rewarding thing. It will be a lasting position for Bonner County.
Are there any final thoughts for us, Steve?
No, I commend Commissioner Kerry Kelly. This was a vision of his that he started with 4 years ago, and this is his last few months in office. But I think that getting this accomplished is truly a commendation to his foresight and his efforts and his persistence.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And for those of you who have just joined us this morning, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You can live stream us at krfy.org. And if you didn't hear all of the program today, please go to our website and look up the podcast. That'll be up in a couple of days.
Steve, we thank you for coming in. You have so much going on. Anytime you want to come back and provide updates or talk about a project coming up, let us know.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me in.
We're going to take a short music break here with some Chicago Saturday in the Park. Chicago Saturday in the Park. We're back on the morning show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Yes, and we had a great program this morning with Steve Clapp, Bonner County Director of Waterways. He was very informative.
There's so much to talk about on that topic. We'll be sure to have him back in the not too distant future. So coming up on the morning show tomorrow on Wednesday, September 21st, join KRFY morning show hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez. Their guests will be Michelle Murphy and Vicki Reich from Food for Our Children, a local nonprofit. That's at 8 a.m. right here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Then on Thursday, we have the Thursday morning edition of the morning show with Jack Peterson, also at 8 o'clock. Not sure yet who his guest is going to be, but Jack always comes up with someone really good.
I agree. And then next Tuesday, Phil, we're having Eric Morgan from the U.S. Forest Service.
No, we're not.
That's my next Tuesday.
Julie's going to be gone next week, so she's forgetting that we have a show that she's not here for.
I just feel time doesn't go on when I'm not here, Phil.
Yeah, we'll have Matt Haig, who's Idaho Forest Conservation Officer from Idaho Fish and Game. He's going to come in and talk about hunting safety, hiking safety in the fall, and his new role as a canine patrol as an Idaho Fish and Game Conservation Officer. It should be really interesting.
I'm going to be sorry to miss that one.
Yeah, we're going to miss you too, Julie. What do we have for upcoming events?
We've got quite a few things, and we aren't going to get to them all, Phil, but I'll mention a few. One thing you might do tonight on the 20th is make it at the library. That's here at the Sandpoint Library at 1407 Cedar. Hosts make it at the library at 3 p.m. Kids and families are all invited to come and create with robotics. Do you know this word, Phil? Arduinos? Is that what it is? Needlework, Legos, and other projects. That's every Tuesday.
That's beyond my level of geekiness. Doesn't rise to that.
Boy, I would have to agree. There's a puppy power hour at the Pondere Pet Lodge. That's at Kootenai Cutoff Road. That's an hour when the puppies get to enjoy supervised play. You can check that out by calling them at 208-255-7687. Upcoming and really interesting is our first... Well, first up for us tonight is Gallagher's Last Smash Tour, and that's tonight at Tuesday.
Now, he's the watermelon guy. He smashes watermelons.
That's right. I've not heard him, but that's at the Panada. And for more information on that, you can simply call them or go online to Panada. I'm not going to mention ticket prices, but you can check that out by giving them a call. And then additionally, we've got George Winston in concert on the 23rd, and that's another big one at Panada. So we've got that coming up.
And this weekend is National Public Lands Day, the fourth Saturday in every September.
And that ties in with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness presenting the Summer Hike Series, kind of the end of it. You're welcome to join one of the organized hikes, see firsthand why Scotchman deserves protection of wilderness designation. Group size is limited, so you should go online to sign up. That's at scotchmanpeaks.org. And a couple more items. One is Ultimate Frisbee. That's beginning this fall. You can enjoy fast-moving fun, non-contact, Olympic-grade sport of Ultimate Frisbee. You arrive between 5:30 and 6 p.m. every Monday and Thursday, now through late fall. That's at the Great Northern Field off of Lincoln Street. Teens and adults are welcome.
We do have the equinox this week. We slide from summer into fall. The days are getting noticeably shorter and the nights cooler, and things are starting to turn yellows. The larch are beginning, the birch.
Some maples are red. I do want to mention one last item because people love this one. 23rd through the 25th is the Idaho Draft Horse and Mule International.
That should be a lot of fun. So we're going to take this show out with a little Jim Croce. It was in 1973 on this day, unfortunately, that we lost him in a plane accident. Way too young, but from Time in a Bottle, one of my favorite songs of his, reflecting on all of these things, Age. Goodbye.
Have a great week, Phil.